winter series, what it means to be radicalized by Jesus. We're taking familiar things to us that we often talk about in church life, and in fact seeing how Jesus radicalized them. And perhaps the call for us to think more in terms of the way that Jesus did that. And so by its very nature, this kind of series pushes us to the edge on some things. And I pray that you can enjoy doing that and allowing God's Spirit in whatever way move you out of a comfortable place. And perhaps for many of us, the Spirit sharing fresh thoughts about things that we've been thinking about for many years. So today, I'd like to invite you, if you wish, to join me in turning to Mark chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 30. And today we'll be talking about how Jesus radicalized the very central idea of family. When we come to this verse, Jesus has just done some teaching about casting out some demons and so forth. And in verse 30, Mark writes these words. He said this because they were saying he has an impure spirit. That is, people were saying about Jesus, he has an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these few and brief words of Jesus that, although not lengthy, are revolutionary. He totally, in one statement, redefined family as we understand it in the kingdom. And so we pray that as we just explore this a little bit this morning, and as we are encouraged, and as we are moved by your Spirit, and as we're pushed a little bit here and there, that the result of all of this will be that these words of Jesus will not just be words that we have read, but will be the reality of the way that we relate to each other. So we open our hearts for Spirit work, and we give our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I would imagine that if there were moment in the life of Jesus in which his family were seeking to do an intervention, that it was this day. Undoubtedly, reports about Jesus were getting out everywhere. And as people were talking about Jesus, some were saying, you know, he's been out and he hangs out with the wrong crowd. He's been seen eating dinner with tax collectors, or someone called his name and he went over and touched an unclean person, and you're not going to believe this, but they've gone insanely wild. Now they're standing up and praising God, and they're saying they can see, and the people who couldn't walk are walking, and people who couldn't hear are having conversations. As a matter of fact, there was a little girl that we knew. I mean, the family said this little girl was dead. We saw it with our own eyes. A little girl is now walking about the town. And so, I mean, weird things are happening. He takes some fish and some bread, and he's feeding large crowds. He's saying things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He's just gone off the grid, and the word is getting to his family. And I suppose that the word getting to his family is something like this. Look, he's your family member. You need to do something with him. I mean, you can't let this guy run around wildly in the streets healing people, of all things. You can't have him stand up and say that the kingdom of God is here. What an incredible, reckless statement to make. You can't have a guy standing out there thinking he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. I mean, this is absolutely off-charted water. You need to rein him in, bring him down, take him, sit him down, and have a family conversation with him and sort this stuff out. And don't let him out in public until he has it in his head that he is just the son of Mary and Joseph. And so, Mary and the brothers of Jesus, I can't imagine what it was like for them. They got the word, and they are really on their way, it seems to me, to do this intervention, which they've been asked by people to do. Control your son. He's got a savior complex. Control him. And so they're on their way. Jesus is speaking to a crowd. And I would imagine they're standing on the edge of the crowd thinking to themselves, you know, what do you do? We're just going to have to snatch him by the collar, take him home, and we'll just have a long family conversation about what he's doing in public. And so as the family arrives and stands on the outer edges, word passes up through the crowd to Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here. And I'm sure Jesus, I would imagine he smiled and thought to himself, oh yeah, I know why they're here. I am the Uncle Eddie of the family. Everybody knows it. I am the one that they are talking about. I am the one that doesn't conform to the way our family rolls. I'm the one that's embarrassing the family. I'm the one who's just not like everybody else. I'm the one they're going to try to rein in, calm down. And I suppose that he probably caught their eye, and they were probably trying to catch his attention. And I would imagine that Jesus sparkled at them through his eyes and then turned to the crowd with which he was seated. And after he got the words, letting him know that his mother and brothers were there, he turned to the crowd and he said, well, here is my brother. Here are my brothers. Here are my sisters. Here is my mother. Looking at them, not looking at his family, looking at them, saying, whoever does the will of the Father is my family. Whoever does the will of the Father is my mother. Whoever does the will of the Father is my brother. Whoever does the will of the Father is my sister. And I'm sitting right here with my family. This was an incredible moment where Jesus redefined the entire family, the very heartbeat, the very center of institutional relationship, the one thing that God instituted among us, the family. And Jesus just did something with the family that was unheard of. He almost sounds like that anybody on the planet can be part of his family if that person is doing the will of the Father. He doesn't care. He doesn't care where they live. He doesn't care from how far they must come. He doesn't care what language they speak. He doesn't care what the color of their skin is. He doesn't care what their denominational affiliation is. He doesn't care what their gender is. He doesn't care what their age is. There's just this one thing. If you're doing the will of the Father, you're in my family. That's incredible. What a way to start a movement. Everybody doing the will of the Father is in the family. This is a beautiful message and image for all of us, each of us who follow Jesus Christ. So over time, this is what happens. I think this is what happens. I've been, you know, most of us have probably been doing this a long time. I've been in church a long time. You've been in church, many of you have been in church a long time. And so when we talk about family, and every church talks about family, every church thinks that they are, you know, like this is our church family, and we act like family, and we talk like family, and all those kinds of things. The truth of the matter is, we have moved our orientation and perspective a little bit back from family. And the truth of the matter is, we talk about each other, do we not? As you know, we're all here in this place. We're church members, right? We're church members. So let me make a suggestion about being a church member or about being a member. You know, people join things, and we all do. My wife and I joined Wednesday night, by the way. We wanted to join when you weren't here because I figured I'd been here long enough that you probably already had a grief against me. So we went under the radar and, you know, said, hey, let's join when nobody's looking. So we did. I don't even think I told my wife. She was practicing with the worship team. So we joined Wednesday night, in case you didn't know. You're welcome. You can kiss me later. All right, so we joined Wednesday night. So we think in terms of membership, and most of us do. We get it. Because as a member, you get to do some things. All right? You get to vote. You get to vote on things. There are things you get to do. You get religious goods and services provided to you because you're a member. You know, you expect, you know, if I'm sick, the deacons or the pastor, you know, somebody's going to get in touch with me. Somebody will be praying for me. So we expect somebody will be taking care of me. That is, if you let us know. We'll, you know, somebody from the church will respond. It means you get to give. It means you get to join a few things. It means you get a newsletter. It means you get to be a part of something. You get to be a part of something. So, in all good humor, if you will permit me, and not close down before we can have fun with this, let me do this. Let me suggest to you that being a church member isn't all that. I'll leave it at that. It's not all that. Being a part of the family of God is everything. Anybody can join a church. We hardly screen people. Being a church member is a little overrated. Right? You shouldn't have said amen. Yes, being a church member is a little overrated because it forces us to start thinking in terms of the church as an institution, and we have membership, and therefore we have rights in that place. We have privileges that belong to that place. Let me put it this way. If you need to be a member of something, go join Sam's Club. They're looking for members. And if you really want to be a member of something, pay for my membership. But if you want to be part of something that is on the greatest mission that there has ever been, a mission of reconciliation in the world, if you want to be part of something where people act like they not only know each other, that they love each other, if you want to actually be part of something that has family written all over it, if you want to be part of something where you can share your heart and your life, if you want to be part of something that changes you from the inside out, if you want to be part of something that goes on forever and ever and ever, amen. If you want to be part of the kingdom of God, if you want to make a difference in the world, if you want to touch the community, if you want to be a changed person, be a part of the family of God. And that will change the world. Don't get too overly excited about church membership. It'll get you so far. And most people who only focus on church membership come to the place in their life when they said, why did I do that? But imagine what happens when a group of people actually live like, talk like, walk like they're in a family together. So let's shift our imaging from church membership, and we all get it, let's move from letting that be our guiding vision of why we relate to each other in this place, to family. And you'd think, there's nothing new in all this. We always do this. We always talk about family. And that's part of the issue. We always talk about family. But start in your mind going through all of the things and make a list in your mind of the ways that we together do family things. Now, as you start making your mental list of all of those things, let me offer to you that this is a mistake or a challenge that churches often face is this. Churches think they are being family by having more and more and more activities and programs to participate in. We're not being family by having more and more and more stuff to do. That's not family. Just because we add to the list of opportunities, I mean, have you been to churches and they open up the, you know, they open up the bulletin or whatever, and you look at all the opportunities of the week, and there's something going on like every day and every time of the day and everything, and you know, you get to choose, and it can you think, wow, this is really exciting. They're really doing a lot of stuff. Listen, you could do 10 things for the church and not be part of the family. You could do 100 things for the church and not actually feel like you're in a family relationship with that church. Activities are no substitute for actually being family together. Programs are no substitute whatsoever for being family together. Do you really think that the people who aren't here today, the people who are across the street eating at Jason's Deli or Hardee's or Panera's or Denny's or Cracker Barrel, or where I hope to end up at, the Outback, do you think those people really are sitting there having conversations right here and right now saying, you know what? I would go across the street to that church if they would just do more programs. If they would just have more activities, I think I would be a part of that. How many of those conversations do you think are happening right here, right now? I'll give you a hint. How many of those same people in those same places who are not here right now are longing in their hearts to be in authentic relationships with people that love each other unconditionally, that are part of something like a kingdom of God, and they would love to get swept in to that conversation, to that reality. And while we're here confining everything to the premises, imagine what we could look like as a church that is unleashed. And we take those conversations to the people who are far from God, but they need God. Because I have a hunch, I've been in church a while, that people far from God typically do not come to church. It's just an observation. I may be wrong. So why don't we, the people who have received the grace of God, the people who have been fully and freely forgiven in Jesus Christ, the people who experience life and life more abundantly, the people of whom Jesus said, there's my son, there's my daughter, there's my mother, we're family. Why don't we, his people, his family, just show up? I mean, this is easy. Just show up in the places where people who really have rarely, if ever, seen what real family looks like get to see a picture of us loving each other like family. And if all we did was show up and loved each other like family, that alone would be a radical statement in most people's lives, would it not? But it's tempting to us because it's hard to make the reality switch from institution to family, from membership to family. It's hard for us to think like that. Although it's easy to use the language of that, it's hard to think like that. Because we know that most of the stuff that we do happens where? Right here on this, here, down the hall. And that's fine. Some of the stuff that we do happens right there. Just imagine when family love breaks out in a world that is cruel. In a place where we live, where there our issues between blacks and whites and races, and there are challenges there, where somebody has a gun in their possession, and statistically, there will be shots fired tonight. Where people are mad at each other, where there are great hostilities, where there are great differences of political opinion, where we can divide over about any issue you could possibly imagine, where in some homes tonight, somebody's going to get mad at somebody else because Atlanta is beating the Patriots. When we all know that in the kingdom it should have been the Redskins who should have been there. We all know this. We and God know these things. We're tight. We're family, right? Yeah. Imagine the most simple thing ever. Loving and relating to each other and with each other, not like church members. Anybody can do it. But like family. It will change the peninsula. Because most everybody out there and a lot of people in here, our experience or maybe your only experience of family is a broken story. And the only time, perhaps, that you ever encountered what real family looks like was when you came to Jesus Christ and realized you are a child of God. And you started experiencing something like the deep hopes that you had within you of, man, I just wish I were a part of family like that. More so than ever before, young people are all over this community wishing that they could be part of a what? A healthy, functional family. They don't want programs. They just want relationships that are authentic, that are real, where they can share their hearts, where they can lay off their life and know that they can say anything and be fully and totally loved. That's what good family looks like. But all they have to do is watch any television show about any movie, any sitcom, and along with everything else that gets thrown at all of us, I mean, it is like one segment after another of what dysfunctional, unhealthy family looks like, and we laugh at it. And it has become the new norm. And it's a sad thing that it is odd in today's world for somebody to encounter a family that is healthy, that is functional, where people actually love each other, where they act like they love each other, where they do things together, where they work out their issues together, where they play together, where they laugh together. It's hard for us in our world to see that. And it's hard for churches to do that. If all we do is think in terms of membership, here's what's going to happen. It happens all over the place. You'll come here until your fun meter is pegged, and you think, okay, and then you want to do what? And you want to go join another one. Well, that's made me mad. I'm upset now, so I'm going to go join another. I mean, this is like the rampant thing of the Western church. People are all over the place trying to find something, and the people who are always looking never find, and they're always on the road to find something that will meet their need, right? But when people are family, man, it's a whole different ball game. Our best opportunity for making an impact on the peninsula or throughout Tidewater and beyond is this. Can we live in the kind of relationship that when anybody from within or without looks at it, the first thing they say is, that is the family I want to be a part of. I never knew a family could love like that. I never knew families live like that. I never knew you could have those kind of conversations in family. I never knew that family cared for each other like that. I want to be part of a family. And we're going to have opportunities to do that. I mean, the whole idea about, I've been mentioned to you, last week was a tough Sunday, wasn't it? Because we laid it down, and you didn't know whether to weep or applaud what I was saying. You had to process it all week long, and some of you are still trying to figure out, what did he say last week? And some of you are thinking, thank God I wasn't here, or maybe I should have been there. Whatever, you try to think, what happened last week? Because it was hard for us. It's very simple. Let's just take our conversation about Jesus and the stories of Jesus and the message of the Bible, surround that message, get into that story, and let people in places where people hang out, and they're there because they're not here, so we'll go to them and let them see authentic, real life, God-loving family. And it will do something in their hearts because they are tired of the brokenness that they are living in. Think about it this way. We are not a church because we have a sanctuary. We are not a church because we have a steeple or pews or hymn books or a praise team or a preacher or a staff or an office or literature or classrooms, or parking spaces, or a sign. Are you aware that none of that stuff makes us a church? None of it. We are church only to the degree that we are what? Family. We are church only to the degree that we are a family. And you can have all the stuff that looks like church, but it doesn't make you one. I could wear Atlanta Braves jerseys and shirts all year long. Doesn't make me a professional baseball player. From your perspective, in my mind, I am. We can have all of the clothing of church and programming and activity and all the stuff we do and where we do it, and none of that, it might make us an institutional body. None of that makes us church until or unless or to the degree that we are brothers and sisters and mothers, that we are family together in Jesus Christ. And that is what the people across the street will notice we have or we don't. They will pick it up in a matter of moments. It does not take long to meet somebody and pretty much get a feel for family. Can you imagine yourself as part of the family of Ivy, being a son, daughter of the King, in places outside of our comfort zone right here? Say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I got good news for you. If you can love in the kingdom of God, if you can love in the love of Jesus Christ, you can impact the world in ways you can't even imagine. Well, I can't articulate words. I can't talk about Jesus publicly. Well, you know, that's probably a struggle for most of us. It's okay. Because at the end of the day, people aren't measuring the words. You know what they're measuring? The depth and strength of your love. All we have to do is be the love of Christ in places right across the street. And lives will be changed. We can do that, can't we? And I can't think of a reason under heaven why we shouldn't or couldn't. Can you? Let's be family. Look like family. Grow together even more so like family. Talk about everything we need to as family. And we're going to even, families disagree. When we disagree, that's okay. Let's talk it out like family. But let's be the kind of healthy family that at the end of the day, the name of Jesus is always glorified. The mission of Jesus always moves forward. And it's never about us. It's always about family. And you have a beautiful story that belongs to nobody else. You are the Ivy family. We are the Ivy family. You're not the Freedom Life family. You're not the Liberty Baptist family. You are the Ivy family, so don't worry about anybody else. God has a story for them. And we'll celebrate that and bless that. But don't for a moment think that God doesn't have a story for you that is totally yours, totally uniquely yours. And live that out. We have two daughters, Sarah and Morgan. Do y'all know which one we love the most? They're not here today, so we can be open about this. Do y'all know which one we love the most? God has his people all around the place. You know which one he loves the most? All we have to do is be what God has created us to be. We don't expect Sarah to act like and look like Morgan. We don't expect Morgan to live like and act like Sarah. We love them each, both with total and full love. Both of them come out of our lives, part of who we are, and yet they are so very different. And God is not asking us, you're tempted to sometimes, look across the way and see what is successful, what you think a successful church. Let's copy them. No, you don't copy them. You're your own thing in the hand of God. He has birthed us. He's birthed you. He's working in us. And we are a unique and distinct Ivy family. You do not need to fear any other the children of the kingdom. They are there to love and bless. We are here to love and bless. That's it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it great? Because we're family. We're going to celebrate communion together. This is family time. What do healthy families do? Share meals together. This is family time. And as we share communion in just a moment, we're going to invite every person who is a follower of Jesus Christ, who's part of the family, to take the bread when it is passed to you. Hold on to it for a few moments and we'll take it together as family. To take the juice when it is passed to you and hold it. And then we'll take it together as family. And we'll celebrate today that this beautiful ordinance is a reminder to us and an encouragement to us that we're not a group of random people who happen to join a particular church. This is a lot better than that. We are family together. And we all have the same Father. And we are brothers and sisters in a family that's changing the world. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to be part of a family that has stretched through the ages, a family that is defined only by and through Jesus Christ, a family that makes us family because we all look to the same Father, we all do the will of the Father, and there is nothing in heaven or hell that can separate that kind of a family. Father, help us to live out our family relationships across the street, or in a place of employment, or in a neighborhood, or in a home, or on a ball field, or in a mall, or a restaurant. We want to open our hearts up and let people see that we have been so changed and transformed by the grace of God that when we are together, even in public, if all they see is that we are family in love with each other, it will be a strong and moving declaration of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we are, let us always put family first. And let us extend that family to all who do the will of God, and to seek all those who may even be far from Him, inviting them to share in the joy of God's family. For this is our prayer today, in Jesus' name.